Okay, peeps, quick question. Are you tired, ambitious, and still telling yourself you just need to push a little harder? Cool. This episode is for you. Hello, my peeps. Welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm Erin Deal, and this is the podcast where we talk about work, careers, and leadership like real humans who also need a nap sometimes. Now, this month on the show, we are diving into Career 101, early careers, first jobs, internships, the season where you're trying to prove yourself, figure yourself out, and quietly hope no one realizes you're Googling everything. Today's episode is especially for the overachievers, the gold star chasers, the people who learned early that being impressive felt safer than being honest. This conversation is called Overachievers Pause, Process Before You Push, and wow, does that sentence just hit. I am so honored to be joined by Jane Chen today. Now, Jane is a best-selling author, leadership coach, speaker, and entrepreneur. She is the author of Like a Wave, We Break, and the co-founder of Embrace Global, which has helped save over 1 million babies worldwide. She's been recognized by President Obama, funded by Beyonce, and featured everywhere from the New York Times to Forbes. But what makes Jane's story so powerful is that she doesn't just talk about impact. She talks about the cost of impact, about what happens when we never slow down enough to process what's driving us. I am so glad she's here. But before we jump in, I want to do a quick pause because if you are somebody early in your career or you're leading people who are, we offer at Improve It a Career 101 workshop that meets people exactly where they are. This two-hour high-energy experience can be delivered in person for up to 100 people or virtually for up to 50 people on Zoom. Our seasoned improv facilitators will guide participants through interactive activities and customized debriefs centered around one powerful idea. Positivity plus perseverance equals possibilities. Now, participants learn how to use positivity in day-to-day work, do a great job even when no one is watching, and get the most out of internships by leveraging connections, experience, and industry knowledge to move forward in their careers. If you want to learn more, visit us at learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com. Now, back to the playdate. Okay, my peeps, here's the problem. Early career professionals are rewarded for pushing, for grinding, and achieving. Rarely are they taught how to pause. We celebrate hustle, but we ignore burnout. We praise resilience, but we skip reflection. Now, many overachievers don't know how to slow down because slowing down once meant things weren't safe. And this is why this conversation with Jane matters so much, because Jane's story shows us what happens when achievement becomes armor. Jane has built extraordinary things, and her book reveals what was happening beneath the surface while all of that success was happening on the outside. But here's what we've learned and what Jane is going to talk to you about today. Pushing without processing doesn't lead to fulfillment. It leads to fracture. And we've got some data to back this up, peeps. Now, early career burnout is rising. Studies are showing that young professionals report high levels of anxiety, imposter syndrome, and emotional exhaustion, even when they're succeeding on paper. And here's the twist. Overachievers are often the least likely to ask for help. So the solution isn't telling people to stop trying. It's teaching them how to process what's driving them. Now, this is where the inner work comes in, not as a soft add-on, but as a foundational leadership skill. Today, we're going to talk about how processing before pushing helps you build a career that actually lasts. Let's get to today's playdate with Jane Chen. We'll be right back. Okay, my peeps, I'm so excited. Jane, welcome to Workday Playdate.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you're calling in from where in the world today?
I am in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh, my dream. My dream. I'm transporting there right now. Okay, so we're going to get into it today. The peeps, you're in for such a treat. But Jane, what is one word that you want to set as an intention for our time together today? It could be something you want to give, something you want to receive. What is that one word?
Compassion.
Oh, okay. Why did you say compassion? I love that word. Why compassion?
I think it's the core of everything. And I think with everything happening in the world right now, we just need more of that for ourselves and for each other. So we'll kind of unpack that more, but that's the word that is very top of mind for me right now.
I love that. Amen. Yes. Okay. And then where, if we could have this play date anywhere, I mean, Hawaii sounds great to me, but like if you could have this play date anywhere in the world, where are we having this play date?
Oh my gosh, it would be here in Hawaii. Oh. I would be taking you into the ocean with me. I'm a big surfer and I love bringing people out to experience the water here and the waves and just kind of being held by the ocean. So I'm going to say right where I am.
Just like your book, which we'll talk about too. But wait, let me ask you, I just want to unpack that for a second. First and foremost, what about the ocean speaks to you so much? What do you love?
That's a great question. I think, you know, a lot of what I talk about in the book is it really teaches me the power of surrender. You know, you can't control the ocean. You can't control the waves. And for those of us who are overachievers, where we like want to control everything and get to these end outcomes, the ocean teaches you to let go of that in such a beautiful way. And there's just something so healing about the ocean. Like I surf this morning and at the end of every session, I will float in the water on my back and allow myself to be rocked by the water. I just listen to the sound of the sand beneath me. I watch the clouds take shape. And it's a moment to feel supported by something bigger than myself. And so that's an experience I love giving to others.
Jane. Okay. Listen, I so many thoughts on this, just on a personal note. I moved to Charleston, South Carolina from Chicago, lived in Chicago 15 years. My family lives very close here. Now they live in Charleston. But it was because of the water. Have you ever read The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron?
Yes.
I almost said Julia Cameron. Okay, that's the book that taught me that I needed to be by water and that water is super healing for my soul. I'm also super jealous that you're a surfer. I've always learned it too. My hand-eye coordination is not great. Literally, I'm a dancer. I've been a dancer my whole life. That's the only thing I can do. Anything that involves stability, balance, in my next life, I'm going to surf. Okay, in this life, in this body, Not possible. When did you start surfing?
I started about 10 years ago. So I didn't discover it until my mid-30s. And I just fell in love with it. Like I became obsessed with it. And it's something I do every day now. It's like a big part of my self-care. And it teaches me so much about life. So
do you live by the ocean? I'm just like, these are all just my own curiosity questions. Do you live by the ocean?
Yes, I live across the street from my surf break.
You are my dream right now. Okay. We live on an island here and I can go on a run and see the ocean in 5 minutes. However, my friend does have a marsh in her backyard that we can paddleboard on. We can paddleboard out to the ocean, but I could not go to a beach unless I got in a car and drove like 7 minutes. So, okay. That is goals. Your goals right now.
I love it. Yeah. I moved out here just a couple of years ago, but that was my requirement that I could walk to my surf break. So,
God. Okay. This is a dream. You are a living dream. So let's just like use this as a segue into your book, because what a beautiful title, Like a Wave We Break. Like, yes, it just speaks to your soul. I'm an author too, and I want to ask you a question because like the book I wrote, I'm curious for you, and I know your story, but I want you to tell this to the peeps. why was it so important for you to write this book and just like get it out of your body? Like what called you internally to write this book? I want you to share that story. I know there is a story. Was there an internal calling? Like, did you need to write it to heal? I'm so curious. Like, give me all the thoughts.
Yeah. So I was first approached to write a book, I think back in 2015 or 16, there had been a piece about my work in the New York Times. I started a social enterprise that builds baby incubators for preemies. We invented a technology that works without stable electricity, so it can be used in very remote parts of the world. So I've spent the last 17 years doing that work. And I was first approached to write a book about the story of my company and kind of like a business book. And so that was the first time I even thought about writing. And it kind of stuck with me. You know, I started contemplating it, but it didn't feel right. And I wasn't sure the story I wanted to tell. Then a few years later, 10 years into building my company, the company shut down. And that just sent me on, I spiraled into the lowest point of my life. Right? I felt just absolutely devastated. I felt like a failure. I put my heart and soul into this thing and it had shut down. Yeah. And so I ended up going on a healing journey. And I basically packed up my surfboard, a suitcase. I bought a one-way ticket to Indonesia. And I traveled around the world exploring every healing modality that I could get my hands on. And through that process, I was forced to confront some very difficult things from my upbringing. You know, namely that I'd grown up with a lot of physical violence in my household. And I didn't connect the dots until this healing journey that it was feeling so powerless throughout my childhood. That's what had driven me to help the most powerless people in the world, right? That had become my fuel. And it consumed me because I work to extreme burnout. I worked 15 hours a day regularly. I didn't take weekends off. I lived in India for 4 years doing this work. And I just, you know, wore myself thin doing this thing that I so believed in. But my like achievement had also become my survival strategy growing up.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's what I started to unpack. And as I came out of the healing journey, and we can dive more into that later, I thought this is the story I want to write. Because I think this is the story that can help the most people. And so that's what I embarked to do. And honestly, I would not have written this if I didn't think it could help others. And, you know, the folks that I wrote this for is anyone who has ever felt like you weren't enough. You know, anyone who has struggled with any kind of trauma, any of us overachievers who over-identify with our work. And when that goes away, we don't know who we are anymore.
Mm.
Right? So really to help people to find kind of that inner sense of worthiness and self-compassion and to encourage people to look inside and to go on that journey of healing.
Okay. And so the fun thing about Workday Playdate is I have like all these notes and then sometimes I just throw them away and have a playdate. And that's where I'm going with you right now. Cause I'm like, okay, cool. I just want to unpack this so much. It's so beautiful. It's such, then you know your book was really written from a place of healing. You know, it was written from like, almost like, and maybe you can answer this and we'll still unpack your answer, but do you feel like it was written from maybe a lesson that you came to this earth to uncover? And that's like your life lesson that you needed to write to help other people. Okay. Okay. Jane Simler, soul sisters, hold hands. Okay. Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, and I loved you used the word compassion in your answer too. That was really beautiful because that's our intention and that self-compassion is so important. And we're talking today just first and foremost about like this overachieving, this, our peeps, our community, as I told you, are just made up of the most amazing humans. And I'm talking to all of y'all. Okay. I'm talking to you. They care about their people. They care about the communities, the worlds, the organizations, the associations that they are a part of, almost to a fault. And I can say, because I am a peep, that I have learned over time that hard work and disassociating myself into work and achievement got accolades. And so when things weren't internally right, I would just throw myself into work to cover it up because I didn't want to deal with it. But what you did is you went on this beautiful journey of self-exploration and self-love and self-compassion. I'm curious, like, what healing modalities did you find? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, I tried everything, you know, psychedelics. I did a frog poison ceremony. Yes. I worked with, like, you know, really incredible healers and therapists. I like signed up for every self-help seminar I could find. But I would say, you know, a couple of things that were really, really helpful. One is we live in the society that's all about pushing harder and doing more, right? Yeah. Go, 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 go. And that's what my life was. And so I think healing, first and foremost, requires slowing down and having the courage to sit with your pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Who doesn't have pain? All of us do.
Oh, physical, emotional, it's there. You just maybe cover it up and don't deal with it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And when we don't deal with it, it stays within us and then it resurfaces in these funny ways, right? Whether that's in our work, our relationships, parenting, all of that. And so I think it's so important to just be with that, you know, and treat that pain, like just sit with it, to feel it, and then to treat that with compassion.
Totally. Oh, I needed to hear that today, Jane. That one was for me. Because slowing down is hard for overachievers. So, like,
it is so hard.
If you asked me, go take a nap. If you were literally like, you need to rest, I'd be like, okay, I have a 6-year-old and I run a business, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like funny to me. And I used to look at a nap as like, wow, that's for slugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's sluggish. Now, if I take a nap, I'm like giving myself a medal because it's that self-compassion that you're talking about. One thing I'm skipping over, and just to give you context, I also went through a self-healing journey, but I had a lot of physical pain. And the emotional manifested into physical, and then the physical was screaming at me, and I was like trying everything to heal the physical until a doctor told me, well, what's your mental health like? And then I was like, oh, well, I went through 3 years of infertility treatments, had a miracle baby, and then right after that, there was a global pandemic that shut down my business, and then my mom had a stroke and almost died, and then I moved across the country. I'm good. He was like, here's my therapist. You should call her. And I have my own now and I'm very grateful. But yeah, it was the emotions underneath the physical that I had to deal with.
Yes.
And so for me, everything that you're saying, I resonate with so much. And I know the peeps do too, because they've reached out like after I would share that story. This is so important because you are a high achieving, you know, you created this amazing business and had all of these things going for you. And then you actually took the time
to
stop, to listen to somebody. So, okay, right now, my beautiful peeps who are right now in this space, because I know a ton of them listening to this show are in this space of just plowing through their parents, their working parents, They're in that phase of life where you're managing up and managing down in terms at work and in life, like your parents, aging parents. What do they do? How do they stop? What do they do today, Jane? Like, what's a message we could say to them right now that speaks to their soul?
Well, I think a couple of things, but one, you know, and I did these silent meditations for 10 days and people are like, well, I don't have the time to do that. You know, I have my kids and work and everything else. And my response is, well, can you take 10 minutes? Right? Can you instill a practice of taking 10 minutes a day just for yourself, whether that's meditating, going on a walk, journaling, whatever it is, but just time of pausing, of introspection, of sitting with yourself, right? And it's remarkable what a big difference that makes, just carving out that little bit of time for ourselves. And I truly believe everyone can do that. Right. So that's kind of the first thing I suggest, like find that little pocket of time that is very doable every day. The second thing that one of the most impactful healing modalities I came across is something called internal family systems, which is also known as parts work.
Yeah.
So for those who are not familiar with this, it's based on the premise that all of us are we consist of a multitude of parts. So you, Erin, you might have within you an overachiever, mm-hmm. a perfectionist,
mm-hmm. a people pleasing,
mm-hmm. people pleaser, mm-hmm. you know, your inner critic. It's mm-hmm. all of those. You have parts of you that carry more difficult emotions like fear, shame, abandonment, all of these things. And so the idea of this practice is, how do we recognize and love all of these parts of ourselves, right? Instead of like shaming ourselves for having feelings, instead of trying to banish those feelings,
yeah.
that allow them to be there. And we treat those parts of ourselves with kindness instead of criticism.
Mm.
And so that's the practice that I found so helpful, because what I saw as I started to really go into this was there are these parts of me, like the warrior in me, the overachiever, they were protecting this little girl inside me who just never felt like she was enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I know. Gabby Bernstein, love her. Her latest book, Self, is all about internal family systems, IFS. So good. And I ate that up, let me tell you. And I love that practice. It's just recognizing what parts of us really need to be seen, and instead of shadowing them, really working with those shadows. And I feel that on a deep level. It's so funny. Everything always happens for a reason. So I'm just going to, I try to like put this in context for myself. So hopefully it helps the peeps. Okay. So yesterday I had one of those like days where I was on it, you know, achieve. I got up and went to my 6 a.m. gym class. I had all these calls. I was on. I went to dinner with my girlfriends. I had a glass of wine, which I wish I didn't do, but I did. And then this morning I woke up, one glass of wine. And I just woke up and I was so tired. I was like so depleted. And I was starting to go down that route of beating myself up, of really being unkind and being like, yeah. you shouldn't have gone out. You know, mm-hmm. you overworked yourself. You had too many meetings yesterday. And I was really beating myself up, like really beating myself up. And then I allowed myself to just say, you know what, Grace, just give her grace, because you can't be on. And let me just say this. You know this, as all in all the different parts of your life, you want to show up a certain way. And sometimes there's your body says, no, I need rest. I need space. And I think just even knowing that I have the ability to allow myself that grace and that space changes everything.
Oh, it changes everything, you know, and we're the meanest to ourselves,
so
right?
Mean.
Those voices in our head, we're so mean to ourselves. And so, you know, I'll tell you a story, and I talk about this in the book. My first year at Stanford, and that's where I ended up starting my company, but I was at the business school there, and I was asked to do a talk in front of my classmates. And I was so intimidated, Erin. I thought I was the admissions mistake, like total imposter syndrome. I was so, so scared. And so I practiced. And then I got up in front of the room that night and I blacked out.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there. Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like literally blank screen. I had to leave the room. I was just mortified. And so for the next 13 years, I had this crippling fear of public speaking, right? And I just would think, oh gosh, now if you get up there, you're going to fail again. Everyone now knows how stupid you are, how incompetent you are. Like there is just this voice that was relentless.
Yeah.
Relentless.
Yeah.
Right. And so after doing this work, this healing work, So for that 13 years, I did have to do public speaking for my work, and I ended up taking beta blockers. It's a medicine that kind of controls the physical symptoms of anxiety. And I relied on those for every public appearance I made. And then 3 years ago, coming out of this healing work, I was asked to do a big talk. Peyton Manning was the other headliner. And so I had this really big conference, and I decided I was not going to take a beta blocker. Like I was just going to get up in front of the audience and be me, and succeed or fail didn't matter. Right. And so the way I prepared was, you know how people tell you to like visualize success and
yes.
all of that?
Yes.
I did the opposite. I visualized blacking out again, okay? Just bombing that talk. And I had a conversation with 7-year-old Jane.
Yes.
And I said to her, you know what? It's totally fine. You are still loved. Mm. You are still enough. It doesn't matter if you succeed or fail, right? And so I got up on that stage. I gave the best talk I'd ever given. The conference organizers told me it was the highest rated talk they'd ever had at the conference.
Let's go, Jane. Let's go.
And yes. I've never had to take a beta blocker again.
Oh, because you spoke to that wounded part of you.
Yeah. And I was kind to that part, right? Instead of shaming, berating, criticizing myself, which was just making me more scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind to that part of myself.
Oh, Jane, that makes me so unbelievably happy. You have no idea to hear that. I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Jane Chin. We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to my conversation with Jane Chin. We're just bouncing around today because I have a little posted. And because when things get busy, you know, sometimes I have a tendency to be like, oh, this is overwhelming. This is, you know, as most people do. But I have this note on my computer. I've had it for the past 2 days. Your 32-year-old self is proud. This is what you've dreamed of. And I'm 43. And so like this, you know, this, well, I'm almost 43, 42. But so 10 years ago, I would have dreamed to literally have this life. And I did. And it came true. And so when things become sort of just busy, I try to look inside and remind that other version of me, like, hey, I'm so proud. And same with you. Like, and then you went and you made her proud and you changed the narrative, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, I changed the narrative. But honestly, it wasn't about like whether I succeeded or failed, right? And I think that's the thing. And yeah. actually coming back to this notion of self-compassion. So, you know, most of my life, resilience to me meant grit. It meant enduring. Yep. Pushing, you know, all of that, as many of us overachievers do. And that led me straight to like total extreme burnout, like mental breakdown after 10 years, all of that. And now I see the foundation of resilience as self-compassion. Because when we have that self-compassion, we can take risks, we yep. can fail and know we're still going to be okay, right? And we just brush ourselves off and we keep going. And there's actually this incredible body of research that supports this, that shows that, you know, self-compassion doesn't make you complacent. It actually makes you more motivated. The difference is that motivation comes not from a fear of inadequacy, but from a desire to learn, to grow. It's intrinsic motivation, right? Hmm. Which is much longer lasting and more sustainable. And one more thing on this, when we find that compassion for ourselves, the research also suggests that we are then far more capable of extending that to everyone around us.
Amen to that. I mean, so let me ask you this, and I'm just going to speak from my own experience. Did you feel before this healing journey that you received validation from awards, from achievements, from other people? Yes. Okay. How do you feel now? Like, what does success look like for you?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Post-healing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was before the healing journey, I was recognized by President Obama, the
yes.
World Economic Forum, Beyonce, you know, like accolades upon accolades. And yeah, it would feel good in the moment. And then I'd like need the next thing and the next thing. And then like the goalposts would keep moving because I didn't have that inner sense of enoughness. And I see this as such an issue in our society today. We're looking for like those likes on social media, or we're looking all for that external validation. But when we don't get it, then we fall apart, right? Our sense of self is so fragile because of that. And so now, and this is like a work in progress. It's not like I'm just like totally healed and perfect and all of that. But I would say the way I think about success now is not about those outcomes, not about the accolades, but am I living my values? Mm. So am I living with love every day? Mm. Am I giving to others? What's one thing I can do for someone else every day? Am I growing? Right. And as long as I'm doing those three things, I'm succeeding.
That's it. That is it. That is it. Oh, I love it. Because I think a lot, and your accolades, by the way, which you don't hear me record your bio. Like, I was like, okay, Jane. Okay. I'm just scrolling. I'm like, yes, yes. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to be recognized by Obama and Beyonce? You know what I'm saying? Like, these are amazing humans in our time. But when you actually find that internal validation and then you can see how your internal validation extends outwardly, yes, and how that helps. There's an acronym, I didn't make this up, called HOPE, help one person every day. I love that acronym so much. I don't even know who said it, but it's, I keep it with me because if you actually do, if one person is impacted by this episode, your book, whatever it might be that you've created, whatever content that you've put out into the world to genuinely help others, then you've done your job.
Totally. And that's what, you know, I don't think I would have had the courage to write this book had I not gone on this healing journey and had I not separated my self-worth from achievement, because it's so scary to put something this vulnerable out there, right? I'm talking about some really personal and very sensitive topics. But I knew that I was going to be okay, regardless of how it was received, I was going to be okay. And yeah, so success to me is not how many books I sold, but every time I get a note from someone who says, your book made me feel less alone. Right? Your book motivated me to have a conversation with my parents. Your book helped me face pain that I hadn't looked at in many years. You know, whatever, all these messages that come through, that is success to me, because that's why I wrote this, right? And so I think just being driven by our purpose and by our values, as opposed to external outcomes, which we can't control anyways.
Right, is right.
So yeah, it's so liberating in a way. And I'll tell you a story, because we started this with the ocean, but about a month before my book came out, I was feeling really stressed and had all these people saying to me, oh my gosh, you need to make this a bestseller. And that means you need to sell this amount of books and get this many pre-orders, and, you know, the whole thing.
Oh yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'm going to like actively let go of that. So my friend came out here to Hawaii. We did a little ceremony and I only had one copy of the book. I actually have a copy here. I only had one copy of the book at that time. And I threw it in the ocean.
Chills. That's a release.
Yeah, it was so awesome. I threw it in the ocean and I just watched as the waves carried my book.
That is so dope.
Yeah, I was like, I put my heart and soul into this. I'm now going to trust the wave is going to carry this message to where it needs to go.
Hell yes, Jane. And I was like, Jane,
an act of surrender.
Hell yes. And it's been so successful. You are crushing it like a wave. Okay. And you know, when you were saying too, and people reach out to you and they say, you know, this book has changed my life. You know, I just mentioned how The Artist's Way has changed my life. Have I ever reached out to Julia Cameron? No. You know what I'm saying? So like the fact that people reach out to you is a huge deal. You have to really take that step. You know, it really means something to them. So I think just also sitting with that and also the ultimate act of surrender, I want to just use that as a guideline too for my peeps listening here today. What happens if we don't let go? What's the other version of that, Jane?
Attachment, clinging, you know, and then that's what happened to me. It's like when my company failed, I was so attached to this one end outcome.
Yeah.
My sense of self was destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I fell into a deep depression. I started having panic attacks. I was like, couldn't sleep. I just hit rock bottom. And so I saw how dangerous it is to identify ourselves just with external results.
Totally. So that's so funny you say that. My company almost, like, we had the PPP loan twice in COVID, yeah, because we were a completely in-person business with no digital leg to stand on. I mean, it was crazy. And very similarly, my identity was attached, and I had never stopped and even taken a step back to look at what we had already built. I was just pressing forward. And so that is a real thing, that identity shift and that, but what catapulted you to this, you know what I'm saying? Like what brought you here? And what I really do believe is your soul's calling to help other humans navigate totally. The waves, you know?
Yeah. And there's a reason, right? If we do kind of hit that rock bottom and we learn from it, it changes our life perspective, right? And then I feel like because my situation was so extreme, I feel that it's my soul's purpose, as you said, to help others with this and to help kind of, and that's what I'm doing now is leadership coaching. I stepped down from Embrace. So Embrace was rescued by Tony Robbins. That's like a whole other story, but we reached 1 million babies as of last year, impacted it.
Wow. Wow, Jane, how dope is that? Okay. And that's a sick fact, but you're also doing amazing things. Talk about your leadership coaching. What are you doing?
Yeah. So I stepped down from Embrace as we reached that goal. That was the goal we set almost 20 years ago. So I passed the torch to a new CEO, and I am now doing leadership coaching and development. I'm doing keynote speaking on these themes. I'm doing a virtual workshop in April for anyone who's interested about resilience. Like, how do we learn this new kind of resilience? And so to me, there's three pillars that we've talked about here. One, how do we learn to feel all of our feelings?
Yeah.
How do we tune into the wisdom of our emotions? Two, how do we let go of outcomes? How do we let go of outcomes and focus on our values? And then three, how do we learn self-compassion?
Ooh.
And so I've basically taken like all the best things I've learned from my healing journey, and it's what I want to help teach others and to support others in.
I love it. Okay, well, we're going to put a link to all things Jane in our show notes so everybody could find you. Okay, and there we'll put all your socials, your website, all of that in there. I have to ask you, this is my final question because I could talk to you literally all day. We've rounded the corner. We now know how we can pause. We have these tips. We know what happens if we don't pause. So I also have this show for two reasons. One, it's a play date. It's fun. It's fun. So I want to talk about, now that you've healed, how are you incorporating joy in your life? And here's the question. What are you going to do to bring joy and play into your work day today? Because you're in Hawaii. You still got the whole day.
Oh, I already did. I just finished a surfing session. My hair's still wet. Like I surf every morning. And to me, it's playtime. Like,
yes.
I get on the ocean. I see my friends. It's like riding a wave, you guys. There's no better feeling. It's just, you feel like you're flying. And so the ocean is my playground. There, it's whale season. I swam with a pod of 50 dolphins a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it was so cool. So play is very much a part of my daily life. And I don't even schedule meetings until after my morning surf sessions. And it's just, I think when we find joy, it reverberates to everyone outside of us, and it allows us to kind of get out of our thinking brain into our creative brain, and that's where magic happens. That's what I've come to see. Like all the magic happens when we kind of take a pause and enjoy life and like turn off the thinking brain for a few minutes.
I'm so here for this. Okay, well, I have found a lot of self-compassion in this talk, coming back to your intention. And we are in Hawaii. I'm on the beach with you. I've had the best play date. I know the peeps have too. Thank you for sharing your story. We'll also link to the book so everybody can get a copy of the book. And I'm just so grateful you were here. So thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Erin. And you're welcome to come out to Hawaii and have a real play date anytime. I'd love to host you. So I'm just put that out there.
Don't say that because I will come. I will
please,
come. Okay.
Please.
Okay. No joke. No joke. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Erin.
Okay. One thing I kept thinking about during our conversation with Jane is her love of the ocean and how the ocean and surfing mirrors this idea. Waves don't respond to force. They respond to timing. And I loved how Jane was able to connect all of this back to her healing, her leadership, and her life. So as we wrap today, my peeps, here's what I want to say to every overachiever listening. You are not behind. you were not broken, and you don't have to push through everything. Processing before pushing is not weakness, it's wisdom. I want to thank Jane for sharing her story so generously and reminding us that who we are becoming matters just as much as what we build. And here's your play date challenge for the week, okay? When you feel the urge to push, I want you to pause and ask one question. What am I avoiding feeling right now? What am I avoiding feeling right now? And my peeps, if today's episode resonated, please share it with somebody early in their career or just somebody mid-career or even senior level in their career who needs permission to slow down, myself included. And until next time, my peeps, keep playing, keep growing, and keep choosing yourself along the way.